Hey everyone, this is Evangelist Maria. Welcome back to the Remnant Podcast. This is going to be a weekly broadcast that we do to grow deeper in our relationship with God, grow in our understanding of the Word, and grow in the power of the Holy Ghost to live in victory every single day of our lives. Enjoy this week's episode. I'll be talking about something called that I've titled Don't Neglect Your Best Friend. And I know that's a kind of funky title, but really the Lord had been speaking this to me for the last couple of weeks, really the last 2 weeks, really strong, that who's your best friend? Your best friend as a saved, blood-bought believer is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows you better and deeper than any other human being. He wants to help you. Those are realities that you have to come to terms with. The Holy Ghost wants to help me, and he wants to fellowship with me. He is a spirit, just as I'm a spirit. At my most essence, at my most base of who I am a spirit. And so it's the most important relationship that you can have in life, higher than your relationship with other human beings, whether it be natural friends, whether it be your spouse or your children or your parents. Your relationship with the Holy Ghost is key to living in victory. It's key to living in the purpose and plan of God for your life. It's key to doing anything amounting to any kind of significance in this life and making impact is to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Ghost. And I just really felt to talk about this and speak on this, that the Holy Ghost is your best friend. And a best friend is someone you want to be around all the time. It's someone you talk to every day. Not a day goes by where you don't speak to them. You're in constant communication with them. You know them and they know you deeper than anybody else. And that's the kind of relationship that the Holy Ghost longs to have with you and I. You know, a great man of God, Smith Wigglesworth, would say, Christians eat 3 hot meals a day and feed themselves 1 cold spiritual snack a week. But say, not me, because that's not you and that's not me. We can't. In today's day and age, you can't survive off of 1 church service a week, the word that the man of God delivered. Yes, you can meditate on the things that you hear in church. You should be, you know, passing them over as you go about your week, even the day that you hear them. But if you want to live in victory, you want to live a victorious life, you want to live a life that truly makes impact for the kingdom of God, then you need to be somebody that is fully acquainted with the Holy Ghost. You need to be in your word. You need to have a strong relationship with him. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 91, that you can dwell, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, right? So you can dwell. There's a place called the secret place where you can dwell. And I'm just going to read a little bit out of John 15, the chapter, very famous chapter in the scripture, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And seriously, this is what the Christian life should look like for everyone, right? The Bible says in John 15:1, I'm the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message that I've given you. And this is key. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Say, that's me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. For anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like useless branch and withers, and such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, another key, and my words remain in you, you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. So it couldn't have been explained more plainly or beautifully than that, that our key to amounting to any kind of success, any kind of impact in this life, is to be connected to the Father through the person of the Holy Ghost. Jesus came, he did all that he's ever going to do, and we've been given, the Bible says that he wasn't going to leave us as orphans, but he was going to send us a gift, and that it would be better for him to go, because Jesus didn't go to be back with the Father, that we wouldn't receive the promised Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Ghost is to be your best friend, your most closest friend. He actually Jesus purchased that access for you. That's amazing to me. The book of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to turn there and just read it for you really quickly. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, the Bible says, Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, verse 20, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So he purchased my access to his presence, unlimited access to his presence by his blood. He purchased it. So you have unlimited access to God. And as you abide in him, as you spend time with him, as you fellowship with him, you begin to take on his likeness. Again, I just bring it back to this example. A best friend, people that are best friends, they spend time together. They're intimately acquainted with one another. You know your best friend's voice. Your best friend knows your voice. You know the things that your best friend would say. You know the attributes that they have, the attitudes that they have, the way the temperament is. You know them and they intimately know you. And you can have that kind of relationship with the Holy Ghost where he knows you so deeply and you know him. You recognize his voice. You recognize when he's putting something in your heart. You recognize his leading. When he's impressing you to do things, you can recognize it immediately because you're intimately acquainted with him. And all of that comes out of a relationship. And so as you dwell in him, the word says that in his presence is fullness of joy and at his right hand, pleasure forevermore in Psalm 16:11. So dwelling in him is my key to a life full of joy and pleasure forevermore. The Bible says he makes known to me the paths of life earlier in that verse. So if you want to know the paths of life, you want to know the key to life, you want to know why you're on earth, you want to know what you're here to do, the key is to be intimately acquainted with the Holy Ghost. And even joy is a product of that intimate acquaintance, intimate friendship, intimate knowledge of the Holy Ghost, your best friend. And if you love God, the marks of your love is a passion, is sacrificial love and a passion for him. If you love God passionately, you're going to pursue him daily. Yesterday's revelation, yesterday's time with him, yesterday's oil, yesterday's encounter, yesterday's hunger isn't going to ever be enough for you because you love him. You want to get to know him more. No matter how much time you've spent in his presence, there's a longing for him on the inside of you, which is a mark of true love. It's like in a relationship. You know, people, when they get married, they're bound to each other by covenant, by a legal binding agreement, but you can fall not out of love, but you can fall out of relationship with one another if you're not constantly pursuing each other, constantly getting to know each other, spending time with one another, apart from the everyday things that you do. And it's the same with the Holy Ghost. You can fall out of fellowship with the Holy Ghost and feel far from him, not because he's far from you, but because you've tapped out of the frequency of what he's speaking to you and how he's moving and trying to show you things. And so sometimes it takes that coming back to your first love, like the Bible says in Revelation, that John said, I have one thing of you that you've forgotten your first love. So that can happen. And you have to guard against that in your life. And the way that you guard against that in your life is by having a deep relationship and by pursuing him every single day, pursuing after the things of God, longing for him every day, making him the central focus of your life every single day. And sometimes people think they have this ethereal view of God that it's out of their control, you know, whatever. But no, you're in control of that by the way that you live. There's things that you can do in ordering your life. And you may feel today, maybe you feel like you're far from him or like you're not hearing him or there's things that are clogging up that connection and that voice. There's things today, it can be the day where you tune back into that frequency, you get back on track, you come back to your first love and boom, there it is. You're back in a relationship. And so you have to long for him. The Bible says in James 4:8, when you draw near to him, that he'll draw near to you. So you can take the first step in pursuing after him and making time for his word, making time for fellowship with him. I'm going to share some practical keys with you, but there has to be a longing on the inside of you to know him, not just know about him, but to know him. The Bible says, the psalmist said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, to really know him, to truly be acquainted with him. There's nothing that you can materially give God that would ever adequately thank him for dying on the cross for you. But there is a way that you can express that thankfulness, and it's through your passion. It's through offering yourself as a sacrifice, giving your life to him. The Bible says we've become slaves again to righteousness. So it's the way that you can say thank you to God is through your passion, through the way that you pursue him out of a grateful heart. God is my priority. There's nothing else in life that's going to have a higher seat than Jesus Christ in my life because I'm grateful that he saved me. I'm grateful that he redeemed me, that he restored me, that I'm not off somewhere messed up, broke up, messed up from the toe up, flow up, that I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm on my way to heaven, that God's given me a ministry of reconciliation. You know, out of my gratefulness, out of my thankfulness, the Bible says, in the view of God's mercies, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, that this is your true, pleasing and proper worship in Romans 12. So it's actually worship to God, to pursue after him every day. And you can have that intimate relationship with him the same way that you would, and even deeper than you would with a human being. And so I want to give you these keys as we just wrap up today. These, you hear me talking, you're like, I want that kind of relationship where I hear him, where I know him, where I'm acquainted with him, where I walk in fellowship with God. The Bible says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and that relationship was severed because of sin, but it was restored. That access was restored and redeemed, bought back for us through Jesus. So don't spend another day outside of the presence of God. Don't spend another day outside of intimate fellowship with him when he died for you to have that full access, that unlimited access to him. So I want to give you keys to walking in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And the first key is the word of God. The Holy Ghost authored the Bible. He moved upon the men of God that pen the words that we read. The Bible says in John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The most essential method of communication with man is God's word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, never let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will deal wisely and have good success. So a word-filled believer, according to the Bible, will prosper, will deal wisely, and will have good success. And you know, meditate, it's that key, the meditation on the word of God. Meditation, not only just reading through the words that are written there for the value that they have, and going in deeper for the meanings that they have, the express of what's being expressed, but it's also the spirit breathed word, reading the word of God in light of the Holy Ghost, letting the Holy Ghost highlight things to you, show things about yourself, characters, natures, attributes on the inside of you that need to be changed. You know, the book of Psalms says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And it's through the instruction of the word of God. So the word of God will give you wisdom. It'll set you high above the rest. It'll give you good success. It shows you the key to prosperity. The word will teach you and enlighten you. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 119 and 130, the entrance and unfoldings of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. So if you're simple-minded, if you're like, man, I feel like I'm not wise, I feel like I'm whatever, a simpleton, the word of God will actually make you a wise person. The word of God will actually show you secrets, things that you didn't know. And so his word is alive. The Bible says that his word is living and active. So the word of God in your life every single day, meditating. Wait, when you wake up in the morning, not checking your phone for 45 minutes before you get into the word of God, but making the word of God your priority. Even if it's just starting with one chapter a day, as you read, you'll find that you'll get hungry. Hunger begets hunger. You'll actually want to spend more time in the word. Those things will become more attractive to you. You'll hunger for it more because you'll see the effect that it makes in your life. And part of meditation, this goes into the second key. Meditation is, yes, dwelling on, repeating to yourself, thinking about, right? But it's also speaking. So speaking out, that's the key number two, speaking. This is twofold. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the second key is to speak the word. The word that you speak reveals that your heart is full of it. So if you've been reading the word of God, but it's not coming out of your mouth, it's not filling in your heart. It might be filling your brain, but you need to allow it to penetrate your heart so that it comes out of your mouth. The word is your highest reality, higher than any news, higher than anything that a celebrity says, higher than what your parents have told you your whole life, or words that have been spoken over you. The word of God is your highest reality. Words like you are the healed of the Lord. Words like you have the mind of Christ. Words like if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he'll quicken your mortal body. Words like this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Words like he always causes you to triumph, that you're more than a conqueror. Those things are your reality above your circumstances, above what your past may have said, the things you may have been living according to. The word of God is your highest reality. And another Think about this. Another thing to know is that God spoke the world into existence by his words. The Bible says the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God's word in your mouth will frame your world. When you speak anointed words, words from the word of God, you'll begin to see those things, those promises manifesting your life as you speak faith-filled words. So speak what God has done. Speak God's word concerning yourself. A great book that I always give to my friends that are new believers or just diving into learning how to read the word, meditate on the scriptures, how to live the Christian life is In Him by Prophet Kenneth Hagin. What a fantastic book. All the In Him scriptures of the Bible. You can get it on Amazon for like a dollar. Just fantastic book to meditate on and speak over yourself every single day, speaking the realities of what the word of God says concerning you. So that's the one part of the twofold point, which is speaking. So speaking, speak the word. And the next one is speak to God. Fellowship. Don't compartmentalize your spirituality. So many Christians do this. Like, this is my, you know, church time where I'm with him. This is my Bible time in the morning where I'm talking to God. And the rest of my day, I go without even thinking about him. I go without even talking to him. He wants to be in every part of your day. He wants to be involved in every part of your life. But you need to give him access to those things. Don't just compartmentalize your spirituality. Put God in remembrance throughout your day, in everything that you do. His presence is ever present on the inside of you. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. So you can be led by God, not just in the spiritual aspects of your life, in every aspect of your life. There are so many stories that I could tell you about myself where I was going about my day and I just felt a nudge by the Holy Ghost to not go this way, to not do this thing. And it was God saving me from calamity, God saving me from things that were bad happening to me. The Holy Ghost can actually do that for you when you have an intimate relationship with him and you learn to yield to him and you are walk in fellowship with him. You speak to him throughout your day. You can be led by his presence. And that's actually a proof of your born againness, that you're being led by him, that he's speaking to you, that you're fellowshipping with him, speaking to God. And this is leading into the third point. Stir it up. Somebody say, stir it up. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 6, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning. That's the key. Keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fruit that is in you by means of the laying on of hands, the inner fire that's in you by means of the laying on of hands with those of the elders at your ordination. So you have to make it a point. I'm going to spend time with my best friend for our relationship to grow stronger. And it's the same with the Holy Ghost, right? I'm going to take time every single day to fellowship with him, to get to know him, to see him in his fullness, and to present myself as an offering to him, to grow in intimacy with him. You know, you've been given a gift. It's not just the indwelling presence. It's a burning flame. Yes, it's an indwelling presence, but it's a fire that you must keep burning. It's a fire that never must go out, that you have to keep burning on the inside of you daily. Daily, I'm going to choose to live a stirred up life. I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to speak to my day and I'm going to direct my day by the words that I speak. I'm going to direct my day by living stirred up in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make that conscious choice every single day to deny my flesh and to live according to the Spirit of God on the inside of me. The Bible says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries unto man, but speaks directly to God and edifies. Another word for edifies is strengthens, and strengthens himself. So you can pray. Yes, pray in the understanding, but pray in the Holy Ghost. You've been given a gift. The Bible says that you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and receive a heavenly language to speak directly to God, to speak a direct connection to God through the Holy Ghost. And so I want to take time to just pray for everybody listening to this today. I hope this stirred up your faith. I hope this put something on the inside of you to say, man, I need to get back to that time, that intimacy with the Holy Ghost. I need to spend some time with my best friend today and never let it dwindle down, but let it get hotter and hotter each day because you're in control of that. So Father, I thank you for every single person listening to this. I thank you that you have plans for their good. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use them in a mighty way in this generation to show people of who you are, of the wondrous things that you've done for them, that you desire relationship with them. Father, I thank you. Let a fresh fire come upon each person listening to this, a fresh grace, Lord, to be a disciple, a true disciple of you that lives in obedience to your word, that hungers after you, that longs after you every single day. And Father, I thank you even now for fresh oil to be poured upon them. Let the joy of your presence just fill them even now. Hallelujah. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that it's a gift that you can receive to strengthen yourself in your inner man, to live an overcoming life, to live in victory, to have that intimacy, that prayer language that will connect you directly to God. So if you've never been baptized, maybe you've been pressing in for it. I want you to receive even now, to receive today that gift that God has for you. Just lift your hands wherever you're at and just say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. I ask that you would fill me now with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and be filled even now. I command you to be filled even now with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, thank you guys for listening. This is the Remnant Podcast, Evangelist Maria. These are going to be coming out every week, and I hope that they bless you. I hope that they strengthen you. I hope that they encourage you and you walk with God. And I hope you have an amazing day.